Cheer up, man. You know what they say? Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on. Always look on the bright side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
First thing that we see, you know.
Always look on the bright side of life.
What do you lose? You know, you've gone from nothing, you've gone back to nothing. What do you lost?
Always look on the right side of life.
Nothing will come from nothing, you know what I say?
Oh, cheer up, you old bugger.
Come on, give us a grin. There you are. See? In the film. Incidentally, this record's available in the foyer.
Always look on the right side of life.
Who do you think pays for this rubbish?
Always look on the right side of life.
I told him. I said to him. Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.
You're damn tootin'. Always look on the bright side. Even on the dark side, there's a bright side. Yeah, maybe a little George Carlin can wake you up in the morning. That's funny stuff, man. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker. And it's the second day of August 2016. We're off and running. Yeah. I hope you're off and running. Because if you're not off and running, you're sitting on your ass. And what have you done for the white race today? Or what have you done for yourself as a white person? First of all, do that. And then see who else you can help. I just sent out a couple of letters this morning. I try to answer all my mail. Seems like I get more from prisons anymore than any place else. Except my radio club people. They're always Johnny on the spot. Anyhow, one guy is a POW. I've known him for a long time. He's a hopeless right winger. He's going to be a right winger till he dies. And he's complaining that he gets no donations except from me and his brother. But he sends me all the time this right wing trash. White nationalist stuff. Stuff that I know all about anyhow, and it's not important. Worthless. sends it back to me. And so I told him, I said, look, you're a hopeless right winger. You're never going to change. And all this stuff, these people that send you all this Christian insanity stuff and all this right-wing conservative stuff, write them back and say, don't send me shit unless you send me a couple of bucks. You know, a couple of bucks I can buy a donut in here. $5 I can buy a sandwich. I'll tell you, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time with these bowel movement people. Mahan called them, the bowel movement. That's the right wing. Matt Hale's mother passed me on a letter from Matt Hale. I'm going to go through it here and comment on it, because we need to comment on this stuff. Dear brothers and sisters, friends and supporters, I'll bet he's got a lot of supporters. That means financial. And there's nobody more Jewish than right-wingers. That's right. Of course, we're always giving the Jews hell. And the right-wing give them plenty of hell. A lot of it is properly placed. A lot of it isn't. I've told you before, when I lived out in the L.A. area, Southern California, before I moved to Fallbrook, California, and started my own business, I worked for a couple of Jews. They treated me fine. They paid me well, were easy to work with, cried their eyes out when I left to go into business for myself. So sometimes things aren't always as they seem. One size doesn't always fit all, you know. There's tame Jews around, just like there's tame Christians, tame oldness, and others, you know. Right. Anyhow, Matt says, if someone were to ask me what we need more of as a race than anything else, I would have to respond with one word, children. For the simple fact of the matter is that our race is not having nearly enough children, and because of that is dying out. Well, I'll comment on that. It's not because we're not having enough children, because you're never going to keep up with the so-called mud races. If you think you can outbreed those people, man, you're crazy. So it can't be done that way. The way is to have an extremely advanced race of white people, Aryans or whatever you want to call them, creators, you name it, that are so far superior to these other races that there's no competition. And the main thing is to quit feeding them. We furnish tons of medical supplies and food, and all these deluded idiot whites, Christian fanatics that go over to Africa and all over the place. They adopt kids and bring them back. They dig them wells. They do all this stuff. If the white race would pull all of its support from the non-white races, you wouldn't have a problem. Here again, we have met the enemy, and he is us. Yeah, I mean, I go sometimes garage sales around here, and they're, what are they doing, selling stuff for? So they can send money to some place in El Salvador or something. Or they've got a missionary school they're building in dumb whack Africa. I mean, there's, out of this county, there was a guy who used to keep track of this stuff in the local paper. And he's, tens of millions of dollars go out of this one county that I live in by Christians into these pest holes around the world. And then you wonder why we're being outnumbered? Well, that's a simple answer right there. And then, of course, you've got, say, now Matt says the women are not having babies. Well, I sympathize with them because the men have become such jerks and undependable, and they impregnate a girl, and then they're off to the races in about maximum 2 years, and they're gone, leaving the girl with the baby, or two babies, or three babies. So Matt says the white men are not impregnating white women. They sure are all over the place. But the women become so poor that they have abortions because they can't support the kid. I remember the skinheads were like that. Oh, yeah, we said we got to build the white race. They were all for impregnating the girls, but they weren't for sticking around, getting a good job, and taking care of the mother and child. They were worthless. They acted just like niggers. And most of the skinheads now are off into dope, narcotics, and you name it. Okay, back to Matt's letter. It may seem a crass way of putting it, but it is not true nonetheless. And most importantly, what are we going to do about this problem? Well, I just told you, we have to cut off all support in any way we can to the non-white world. If they can't take care of themselves, then they need to die. And if it gets to a certain point, which we're approaching one of these days, we're going to have to implement programs to solve that problem. Matt says problems are meant to be solved, not tossed around on a plate like the food that we don't want to eat. So it behooves to work towards a solution to the problem of our non-generation of our kind without wasting any more time. Well, I just gave you the answer. Cut off all aid and medical supplies to the non-white world. Cut off the food. Our farmers are overplanting and over-fertilizing with toxic chemicals the farmland right here around where I'm at, so they can raise more and more corn, more and more soybeans, more and more other kinds of crops. To do what? To sell to third world dictators. Massive, massive amounts of food are going out of this country into the third world. And also now it's gotten so bad that instead of planting vegetables, of course, corn, soybeans, and things like that takes up most of the planting. And so we don't have enough vegetables, fresh vegetables and so forth. So we're importing that stuff from other countries by some plantation type people in the third world that go down there and uses slave labor to raise whatever, bananas or you name it, and then ship it back here, and we buy it back here. So there's an answer, Matt. I got a lot of answers. This is a subject that is not spoken of nearly enough in our movement. Well, you don't have a movement, Matt. As Mayon used to call it, the Baal movement. It might be a struggle. It could become a struggle if it ever got come to its senses, but it's not a movement, not what I would call a movement. There's not enough of us to have our national convention in a phone booth. There's not enough serious people out there that are interested in the white race at all costs to do anything. This is a subject that is not spoken of nearly enough in our movement, he says, apparently for fear of causing offense. Well, one thing I've never worried about is causing offense. In fact, I enjoy being offensive. I relish in being offensive. If I haven't offended a lot of people every day because of my beliefs, then I haven't done my job for the day. I love to offend them, because they deserve being offended. Well, we'd better start talking about it regardless of any feelings of the matter. and, what's more, start doing our part in our own lives to turn the birth dearth of our white race around. Well, that's what Matt says. Well, you could have started, Matt, by not getting your ass in a jam needlessly and being convicted of planning to kill some federal judge, which was totally, totally unnecessary. And, of course, you were set up. And, of course, you're always, these informants always set you up. But you don't play around with them. And then you don't have the problem. So instead of having being outside, being married and having kids and taking care of your poor mother who lives in low-cost housing, you're telling everybody else to have kids and what to do. That's not a good thing for a leader of something to do. So he says, as the founder of our church, I always hated that term. I told Ben Classen, get rid of that church bullshit. The minute somebody hears church, they don't want to listen. Church of the Creator, Ben Classen said, Ben Classen and I used to go round and round about this Pontifex Maximus and stuff. Pontifex Maximus was a Roman church leader, as I recall. He was a pain in the ass and killing pagans all over the place. Why would Ben pick Pontifex Maximus, which is a, sort of like the Grand Dragon, the clan type stuff? It might have been interesting at one time, but it's not anymore. Okay, so Ben Classen said, getting married and raising a family is quite simply the most important thing that you could possibly do for your white race. I agree, Ben, that was correct. You're calling it a church and calling yourself the Pontifex Maximus and stuff like that, that was silly. After all, or even a creator. If you're not getting married, having kids, you're not a creator. A creator reproduces. A whole lot of the creators I've met are not reproducing anything but propaganda. After all, long after all memories of your own life have faded, your descendants will live on into the limitless future. Well, that's what I've said, and I developed a marriage ceremony along those lines way back. I still got it in my file someplace. And that's exactly what I said. Long after you're dead, your descendants are going to go on into the future. And that's your immortality. Not some spook in the sky or sitting on a cloud or following the baby Jesus. Actual physical people. He says, for my part, my own biggest regret from the time when I was a free person, at this time anyway, since I'm still imprisoned on a 40-year sentence for no crime, well, Matt, they've got to have enough evidence to convince a jury or you wouldn't be in there. He says, for no crime. Is that I myself was so busy in my activism for our great cause that I failed to do my part to populate the world with my own kind. Well, it doesn't take that long to copulate. You had plenty of time to have a woman. He says, as our creativity religious doctrine would say. So when I study the fact that our white race is simply not replenishing itself, is dying out before our eyes accordingly, I move to write all of you at this juncture and urge you, my comrades, who are free, unlike me, to find a suitable mate without any further ado. Well, how about several mates? I mean, you know, I have no problem with white people having more than one mate. I don't think I want to do it myself. But the Mormons had a pretty good thing. They're going to replenish their people. Or not replenish, plenish. A suitable mate without any further ado, and do your duty for the future of the white race. Well, how about doing this duty, Matt? let's not support any more wars and occupations. Don't you think that the millions that died in the, well, the hundreds of thousands that died in the Civil War and the collateral damage and then all the people who died in the First World War, way beyond just the soldiers, millions, 55 million died in the First World War, mostly white. And then in the Second World War also, don't you think that had something to do with the birth rate? All those white men that got blown to bits over in Europe over nonsense. And don't tell me that the Nazis were fighting for the white race, because they seemed to be fighting for the German part of the white race, and even then, I question that. Invest the necessary time, effort, and more important than that, have as many children as possible. Well, you don't have to have lots of children. I had six, my wife and I, and that was a lot of kids. But it turned out to be a good thing. We always had food on the table and a house to live in, good schools to go to. That's all you need. The financial burden be damned. Well, what do you call a burden? Not having swimming pools, not having new cars all the time, not going to the best universities, and so forth. Is that what you would call a burden? You don't need all that bullshit. Do not accept the liberal democratic propaganda that it is more important that you have cash than a child for your race. No, that's not liberal democratic propaganda. That's predatory capitalist propaganda. A lot of liberalism was correct for the white race. And democracy, if it's run properly, is good for the white race. Don't give me that shit. I mean, you know, predatory capitalism and greedy white people is the problem. That is more important for you to have cash than a child for your race. And yes, sire or bear children within the bonds of holy matrimony, for that is a better way. Well, I don't know what you call holy matrimony. What the hell is this holy matrimony? I thought you were a creator. Holy matrimony. I don't even think you need to get married. Why give the respect to the state? Why bow down to the state and have to go down and get a piece of paper that the state says it's okay for you to live with a woman? That's nonsense. I cannot tell you how many single... In fact, you go to a wedding ceremony and two-thirds of the wedding ceremony is an advertisement for Jesus and Christ's insanity. I cannot tell you how many single white males I hear from, but the great majority of my correspondents no doubt fall into the category. Many of those white brethren have even given up on finding a suitable mate altogether. Well, that's ridiculous, Matt. I've often said, if you can't find a suitable mate within 50 miles of radius of where you live, you're a loser. And if you're a loser, you don't want to have children anyhow, because your children will probably be losers. But that's bullshit. You know, Dr. Pierce 2 or 3 times went to Eastern Europe to get a woman. And several other of these so-called right white nationalists have gone to Eastern Europe and Russia to get women. That's ridiculous. There's plenty of good white women in this country. Sure, it takes some time to seek them out. But I'll bet you $1,000 that you can find a suitable white mate within 50 miles of where you live right now. Might be a little tougher if you're out in South Dakota, but I mean in heavily populated areas like the Midwest. You simply have to try harder and not give up. Well, like a sperm they try harder. Most of them don't make it, but as long as one sperm gets to the ovum, away you go with a kid. All this stuff about, I can't get a good woman, and I'm just staying in the basement of my mother's house, and it's terrible. The girls won't look at me. This is all bullshit. Remember, our white race doesn't breed. If it doesn't breed, it's doomed, he says. It won't matter how great our cause is or what our particular merits were as individual white men. Well, get out there and compete. You can compete with all these white sub guys and these niggers. I mean, where are your balls, white man? I mean, you know, at least a guy, you know, like a these bikers, you know, Aryan Brotherhood and stuff like that. You see them driving down the highway with a beautiful blonde on the back, and they weigh about 250 pounds. But they got women. They get the women because they got the balls to get the women. If you don't have the balls to get the women, you're not going to get the women. Rather, our race will be submerged and destroyed by the simian cesspool, and everything that our race will have accomplished in its history will have been forgotten. No, because there's always a minority of any race or animal population that when the time is right, they will fight to the death and they will kill anything that gets in their way. And if you're not willing to, at some point, or at least advocate that, forget it. Might is right. All these guys that cry about getting women and all that should be reading Might is Right once a week. It's more important that you make the effort to find a wife and sire children than it is that you write me a letter. It is more important that you populate the world with your own kind than it is that you start a new website. Again, take the time, effort, money to give back to your white race in the most important way you can, new sons and daughters for the future of your kind. Your race will one day thank you if you do it. Well, I've met a lot of creators over the years. I don't see them having many kids. I don't even see them having decent jobs or a good education. So you got to learn a trade, you got to have an education so that you can support a wife. Most of these people can't support a wife because they don't have an education or any kind of trade to get into. From high school, you should be already setting out your search for the right kind of livelihood. The livelihood I ended up in, I started when I was 12 years old from becoming a ham radio operator, and then at an early age getting a job part-time in a TV shop where I repaired radios. And then I got into TV. Then I got into the Army and they sent me to school and I got an education there. And then I got out and I went back into the electronics business. And then I went to work for Douglas Aircraft on the Apollo mission and so forth. It didn't take a lot of money to do that. In fact, it took very little money to do that, but it provided myself with a livelihood and was able to support six kids and a wife. But we didn't have new swimming pools. We didn't have new cars. We didn't have all the bullshit, but we had a happy life. Racial, he says, racial life has to matter more than anything else, and the pursuit of your racial life is a full-time job more important than any other. Well, you can do that at the same time you work a trade. A carpenter can do that, a plumber can do that, an electrician can do that. We must rebuild the shrinking members of our people, he says, and as racial loyalists, we must set the example. Babies is where it's at. Yes, our wives should be barefoot and pregnant. Oh, that's a pissy-ass thing to say, Matt. Yes, a woman's highest honor is to bear white children, not breaking glass ceilings and other such tripe. Well, I think our women should be breaking glass ceilings and serving the race. I see nothing wrong with our women becoming the chieftains of corporations that serve our race, or at least behind the scenes serve our race. This idea of barefoot and pregnant is a Jewish idea. It's Orthodox Jewish. Yes, we're in a race for our very survival and must win that race. Even when I was in a Klan, I was bringing the women in all the time, putting women in important positions. And that's what I believe in. I believe an intelligence movement has to have women, and not barefoot and pregnant either. So am I raising this issue and hope that my words will not be in vain? We must defy the mores of present society and get back to brass tacks, breeding our white race so that it will survive, not die. Yours truly for the folk, Matt Hale. Well, Matt and I disagree on a number of things. I feel bad that he's in prison, and he's going to be there for a long time. He's working his ass off trying to figure a way to get out, but once they get a racist, a white racial separatist in prison, they're not going to leave him out unless they absolutely have to. They're going to make him do every day of whatever the sentence was. Forget about most of the time parole. So you better think about your actions, whatever you're going to do. Because if you fail, if you decide to get yourself into a hot war, you're going to pay the price. Just remember that. Most of the time people get into a hot war don't achieve much, but they still pay the price. They don't kill all their enemy or anything like that. They always get caught 5 minutes after they do something. Yeah. So before you set out to breed yourself of 15 kids, first of all, start studying for a trade and learn how to make a living. Believe me, if you've got a good trade, you shouldn't have any problem getting a good woman. There's plenty of good women out there looking for good men. But they're not going to be looking around a bunch of skinheads, dope addicts, guys who just want to go out on Saturday night and drink and beat the shit out of people. They're not looking for guys like that. Anyhow, that's my comments to Matt Hale's latest letter from the Gulag. Well, let's see what China's up to. China makes major changes to its laws to squash Islam. Sounds like a good idea to me. Break our laws and face public execution, thus says China. If there's one thing that can be said about the Chinese government, it's this. They couldn't care less about political correctness or the United Nations. And apparently, they're willing to address something that the West will not, the fact that Islam is an extremely dangerous death cult. Muslims are capable of killing their own race of people. Without a care in the world. The problem lies in their inbred breeding. World research has found that between 26 and 30% of the Muslim babies born are products of young males having sex with their mothers, sisters, and cousins. These babies are born with mental problems that turns to violence when they grow older. Isn't it ironic that an oppressive communist country sees what free nations don't? That ultimately Islam always turns nasty? Its presence in society always ends badly for everyone except for the radical adherents. This is what tolerance will get you. everywhere Islam has been welcomed by a free people, it has grown from a quiet snake in the grass into uncontrollable poison. Islamists are patient. They believe Allah is on their side and they will wait. They bide their time in infiltrating a culture until they have gained all the strength they need to strike at the heart of the people who have accepted them into their midst. There is a very simple reason for this. Islam is not just a religion, it is a political ideology and a cult of death. And no behavior is tolerated outside of its murderous directives. So what is China doing? It's declaring an all-out war to make sure Islam doesn't take over and never gains the strength to attack them. Here are China's directives. Female head coverings completely banned. Threats of deportation exist if they refuse to comply. No citizenship privileges granted to Muslims. And very strict immigration laws are in place. Every Muslim residing in China, even Muslim visitors, are closely monitored. No mosque allowed to be built, and strictly no praying on public streets or anywhere in public. Any Muslim caught hate preaching in public or trying to poison the minds of the young Chinese will be deported immediately. That is, if they are lucky to escape the death penalty or life in prison. Muslim men are forbidden from growing long beards. The Chinese feel it is too intimidating. Islamic restaurants must sell cigarettes and alcohol, and they must display them prominently for all. All the patrons to visibly see. Strictly no sale of any halal meats at all. They must display a highly visible sign in their window, pork available if requested. Any business owner who does not follow this order will lose their business registration and be closed down. Any Muslims who commit any serious crimes like terrorist activity, murder, or rape, and the culprit faces execution by hanging or thrown in prison and never seen again. 27 Muslim male and females were executed by hanging in 2014 and 2015 for suspected terrorism, while dozens are in prison waiting their fate. In China, you are guilty until proven innocent. Not innocent until proven guilty, as practiced in so-called civilized Christian countries. Chinese lawyers are forbidden by the government to defend a Muslim in a court of law because of their Islam belief, which is not recognized in China. They must represent themselves. Chinese judges are known for their despite of Muslims and are, wait a minute, Chinese judges are known for their despite of Muslims and are very cold-hearted and biased, very similar to how Indonesian Muslim judges treated the Australian girl Chappelle Corby over her drug charges. 2,127 Muslims left China in 2015 and returned home because of its very tough anti-Muslim laws. And China completely ignores the anger of the United Nations Refugee Council. China sees what's happening in the West. It sees what has happened throughout Western Europe, in France, Belgium, Holland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and the USA and Britain. And now a million Muslims who have stormed into Germany, dragging their economy down to its knees, that is predicted to send the country spiraling into bankruptcy. The Chinese government will not tolerate Islam or their hideous Sharia law. China has decided to eradicate the plague before it can gain a strong foothold and turn their country into another Western Europe. Unlike inept USA government with its Muslim sympathizers, the foremost being our current totally failed President Obama and his administration, China understands the violent reality behind Islam and is prepared to stamp it out even if it means deporting every single Muslim. Communism is a horrible form of government, but it also unshackles China from tolerating the idiotic delusions of those who continue to preach that Islam is a religion of peace. There is nothing about peace written in the Quran. It is all based on hatred and killing simply because Muhammad was a mass murderer and a rapist of women and children. Britain, Canada, and Australia should take heed before Islam becomes too overpopulated because of it is their objective. If Britain doesn't get tough on their Muslims and begin a huge deportation program, including the thousands of violent Muslim prison inmates imprisoned at the taxpayers' expense for committing hideous crimes, it has been predicted by the experts that British public can expect to have a Muslim prime minister in place by the year 2050, probably sooner than that. Probably sooner than that. Perhaps Donald Trump won't be tough enough. Need somebody even tougher. Well, this comes from a security outfit. Seems to be infolog.com. And I'll read it to you. From Peter Webster, second-guessing the terrorists keeps getting harder. Peter Webster, chief executive of the Core Security, a regular infolog.com blogger, discusses terror attacks in his latest blog. He writes, quote, "We live in a world that has become accustomed to terrorist atrocities. The recent incident in Nice, where 84 people were killed, representing a shocking new level of violence. Just days later in Munich, an 18-year-old male opened fire on..." Okay, I know that. "Radicalized individuals or lone wolves are able to fly under the radar." Okay, quote, "Although there is clearly a rise in this type of activity, lone attackers operating under a model of leaderless resistance..." Ah! Hey, that's one of my sayings. "Is nothing new and spans the political and religious spectrum. For example, an anti-Islamist Anders Breivik set out a car bomb in Oslo and then journeyed to the island of Utøya to massacre scores of youth attending a summer camp, killing 77 people in all." Well, maybe were they studying Islam? Were they supporting the Islamic invasion of Europe? "There have also been lone wolf plots and attacks by neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other single-issue extremists. In fact, a recent study led by the Royal United Services Institute found that when it comes to attacks by lone wolves without guidance from an outside group, the extreme right is behind as most events as the Islamic extremists." Well, at least you give us credit, our friends. "It is all too easy to dismiss lone wolves as just seriously disturbed, crazy individuals who are mad, bad, or both. While they hold views that go against the vast majority of sheep and others in civilized society, these people are what the security services refer to as clean skins, a term used to describe those who have a spotless criminal record, a history that doesn't arouse suspicion, and no connection with the security services." Well, unless they're infiltrated. "With this type of background, it is incredibly difficult to identify and monitor lone wolves. The problem is compounded by the fact that they often have no communication with others." Oh, no, we gotta communicate. Unfortunately, working alone also makes it far more likely for those with malicious intent to succeed in their endeavors. Yeah. And the methods they use to carry out atrocities are usually basic but deadly, as the Nice attack demonstrated. Well, that kind of stuff that happened in Nice happens every night in Chicago. Niggers. I mean, are you... They killed one priest and one nun, right? Chicago, they 380 or 90 so far this year, murders. They don't want to talk about the nigger crime, especially nigger crime against their own people. As the Nice attack demonstrated, bombs and guns are not always necessary. No, just a good butcher knife, get it out of the kitchen. Maybe a can opener. Carnage can be caused just as easily through items that are around us every day. Although the proliferation of lone wolves poses an insidious and covert threat, but not as much of a threat as the federal government itself of all these countries, both here in the United States and Europe. What about all those bombings of the people in the Middle East and other places? Collateral damage, what about that? What about all those drones bombing wedding parties and stuff? Oh, I guess that's not a big problem. In my view, it makes all more vital the security professionals work with wider security services and the general public in a comprehensive effort to increase vigilance. That means more snitches and identify suspicious behavior, especially that guy down there in Warsaw. He's weird. It is incumbent upon us all to recognize the threat, take it seriously, and do everything possible to minimize the danger to people, property, and assets. Well, I'd like to stop a lot of terrorism. The way I would do it is bring all the troops home from the Middle East. Yeah, bring all the drones home, bring all the equipment home, bring it all home. That would cut that kind of problem down quite a bit. Security professionals must be on high alert to the potential impact of threats on the organizations that they are tasked to protect, mainly politicians. We got to protect those politicians. We don't want them gunned down in the street. That would be terrible. Knowledge, information, and intelligence must guide and shape this approach, especially in terms of risk and threat assessments and determining security policy and strategy. Quote, every situation is unique, and a security strategy necessitates the integration of a range of measures, including manning, guarding, CCTV, access control, lighting, remote monitoring. It may also be necessary to deliver on-site training to enhance an organization's existing security measures. This will help personnel identify and respond to potential threats and give them confidence in the organization's ability to keep them safe. And also, Homeland Security and all this shit costs money, and we get to spend lots of money, millions in security equipment, millions in guns and so forth. Yeah. And we can dole that money out to our friends, like these nigger millionaires that have cropped up. When it comes to manning guarding companies that specialize in protecting certain types of environments, I love this language, possess a unique knowledge of the threats posed to specific kinds of establishments. I love this in King's English they use. It's so cute. A specialist provider will be able to deploy individuals who have been given skills that enable them to perform their roles to the highest standard. This includes, for example, Operation Fairway, base training related to the identification of suspicious behavior, guiding the public to safety in the event of attack. Yeah, right, guiding yourself to safety first. How to carry out sensitive questioning and hostile reconnaissance recognition. Boy, these guys really talk neat, don't they? In order to stand the best chance of spotting lone wolves, the public must also do its bit by reporting any suspicious behavior. Is your neighbor doing something strange? Call the cops. Put simply, terrorists operating under this model are far more likely to be seen by ordinary citizens with good situational awareness than they are by an individual counterterrorism agent. Well, that's for sure, because most of your counterterrorism agents are full of shit. Also, in the event of terrorist attack, minimizing the event of damage is paramount to capitalist property. And the end of the last year, the National Police Chief's Council produced a 4-minute video titled Stay Safe, Firearms and Weapons Attack. You can get this on the internet, which outlined its run, hide, tell policy. Summing up my own views on the particular subject, Deputy Assistant Commissioner Neil Bazaar said at the time of this video's launch, with the threat level remaining at a high level, the police and security service continue to operate at a heightened state of readiness. We gotta register all those butcher knives, man. We are working on hundreds of investigations and making an arrest a day. However, it is only with the ongoing support of communities of snitches that we can defeat terrorism. You are our eyes and ears, so please be alert, not be alarmed. Wow. Quote, we are living in troubled times that our government creates. All the troubled times are created by our governments. We're living in troubled times, and it appears the apparent proliferation and success of lone wolf attacks represents a frightening new development in terrorist activity. It is therefore imperative that individuals and organizations fully understand the dangers posed by potential adversaries, understand their motives, what they up to, and take appropriate action. It is only by doing so that we will be in the best possible position to address this clear and present danger and ensure that the terrorists don't win the wider battle to disrupt our way of life. There you go. Core Security website. You can go up there and learn all about it. Learn how to snitch on your neighbor. If he's got funny-looking people coming into his backyard, you got to check it out, man. At Mitska, he's got a Confederate rebel flag on his roof, and he's got signs that are critical of the government. Call in, and we'll have to keep an eye on that bastard.
Thankfully, firearms and weapons attacks in the UK are very rare. But tragic events from around the world remind us of the need to always be prepared. This film gives advice about what to do in the unlikely event of a firearms attack, either in your workplace or elsewhere. You should see this as an opportunity to plan how you would respond to such a threat and stay safe.
Stay Safe is a film that's based on proven advice, and indeed it's already been seen by over 100,000 people across the country in training and briefing sessions with the private sector. The threat level is currently set at the level severe. That means an attack is highly likely. Indeed, it's been at that level for over a year, and for that reason, we've doubled our efforts and, for example, making an arrest today. Everyone's aware of the terrorist challenges across the world, and there have been some awful attacks, and it's our view that this advice should be rolled out to the public, so in the tragic event that anyone gets caught up in a marauding firearms or weapons attack, they're better informed and have better advice to protect themselves. It can never cater for every possible eventuality. And if someone acts on instinct and perhaps decides to fight because they have no choice, then of course we would never criticise them for that.
If you hear gunshots, the best option is to evacuate, but only do so if it won't put you in greater danger. First, consider your route. Act quickly and quietly, leaving your belongings behind. Insist others come with you, but don't let their indecision slow you down. Once you've identified a safe route, run. Consider your route as you leave. Will it place you in the line of fire? Is it safer to wait for the attacker to move away before you continue? If you can't move to safety, hide. When finding a hiding place, consider your exits and escape routes. Avoid dead ends and bottlenecks. Try to find places with reinforced walls. Try to lock yourself in a room and move away from the door. Be as quiet as possible. switch your mobile phone to silent and switch off vibrate. Don't shout for help or do anything that will give away your hiding place. The best hiding place with protection from gunfire will have a substantial physical barrier between you and the attacker. If you're able to evacuate, get as far away from the danger area as possible. Try to stop others from entering, but only if this won't put you in danger. Call the police. Dial 999 and tell them clearly the location of you and the attackers. Descriptions of the attackers, their clothing and weapons, information about casualties and building access. Include anything else you think is important. When the police arrive, they will be armed. They may be dressed differently depending on their function. Their first task will be to deal with the immediate threat to prevent further casualties. This may take a long time. The police may be unable to distinguish you from the attacker. They may treat you firmly. Do everything they tell you to do. Don't make any sudden movements or gestures that may be perceived as a threat. Stay calm. Don't shout or wave. Keep your hands visible at all times so they can see you are unarmed. The armed police may ask for details about the building, the attackers, hostages and casualties. Only once it's safe to do so will you be evacuated to safety. Firearms and weapons attacks are very rare. Having a plan will help you stay safe and could save your life.
Well, that's the way you protect yourself from federal agents, state and local criminals with badges and so forth that may want to invade your place. So they made this to apply to lone wolf terrorists? No, it applies to runaway criminal federal people and agents of the Homeland Security. So follow these instructions so you don't get KO'd. Okay, boys and girls, if you see something, don't talk. That's it, 14-5. I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wotan's Day.
I always knew I was doing the right thing. Because you have a steadiness about you. And I believe in you. But it comes on. And you must be smarter than your enemy. What are you trying to say? Americans, they're very smart, but sometimes they can be incredibly stupid. They spend all this money and time and energy on the so-called war on terror. They put satellites up in space. They can ram a smart bomb up a camel's ass from a situation room 5,000 miles away. But every time the U.S. kills an Al-Qaeda leader, what happens? There's a new one before the body's cold. You do it a million times. And they never get it because the real solution always eludes them. That is, do nothing. Nothing. Nada. If you want to shut down a fundamentally flawed system, all you gotta do is step out of its way, and it'll shut itself down. Nature has a way of correcting itself.